Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Well, we're all spread out to keep cool, I guess, so I'll speak up.
We could pull up a little bit.
it seems a little bit spread out, but that's fine. So today we're continuing with the questions in Bendoa, and last week we finished with number four, but I wanted to review that briefly, and since Jeffrey and Paul weren't here, that might be helpful too, to go over a little bit some of that. In my reading, particularly in this section, the questions sort of build on each other. There's kind of things that one thing leads to another. So I'll read a little bit from that. And from number four, I'll review the question too, at least part of it. So it's sort of a little bit of a complicated question about other teachings in other Buddhist traditions and schools. So its principle is mind itself is Buddha, or this mind becomes Buddha, which propounds the true awakening of the five Buddhas at the instant of sitting without passing through many kalpas of practice. This must be called the pinnacle of Buddha Dharma, the questioner says. In spite of that, what superior features in the practice you are now speaking about cause you to recommend this only and set aside those others? So part of the reply is, Dogen starts out with, Buddhist practitioners should know not to argue about the superiority or inferiority of teachings, and not to discriminate between superficial or profound dharma, but should only know whether the practice is genuine or false. So then he goes on in a very kind of typical Dogen way to give some lovely examples. And he ends up with this statement. When we do zazen truly and thoroughly, relying on the Buddha mudra and letting go of all affairs, we transcend the limits of sentimental judgments about delusion and enlightenment, and are not caught up in the dichotomy of and paths of ordinary people or sages, and immediately stroll beyond classifications and receive and use great awakening. How can the activities of those who are involved in the snares of words and phrases compare with this? So, it's the zazen beyond the discrimination. Kind of reminds me of that gotcha moment that is pretty prevalent in our culture, and we seem to like anyway as humans that, okay, this is right, this is it. Argumentation, and I have a somewhat of a predilection for that. I was on the debate team in high school and really enjoyed that. I remember, I think the deeper part of that is that we want to know answers and we want to be right. So it comes from a genuine yearning and a genuine necessity, but we kind of get veered off with the ego part of us and say, so how can you say this, as the questioner says, this was truly the moment, the pinnacle of awakening. So how can you say what you're advocating? How can that be? And Dogen is reminding us that we can go beyond that. And Uchiyama also has some nice commentary words, I think, on this. He says, referring to when Dogen talks about just relying on the Buddha Mudra and thoroughly doing Zazen. Uchiyama says, the Buddha Mudra is Zazen in which we actualize the reality of life. In returning to the reality of life, we relinquish all associations. Since we depart from reality by thinking with our discriminating mind, we let go of our discriminating mind. And he says, point out, Zazen is letting go of thoughts. And then the next question kind of amplifies this, and especially Uchiyama's commentary on the next question kind of amplifies what it means to let go of thoughts. Although I do remember Angie quoting Koban saying, think not thinking. Think not thinking. Well, there's a kind of a koan. So then in question 5, we have question 5. Concentration is one of the 3 basic studies. Meditation is one of the 6 paramitas. Both of these are studied by all bodhisattvas from the beginning and practiced regardless of whether they are sharp or dull. So the Zazen you speak of is already included. For what reason do you say the true Dharma of the Tathagata is consolidated in this one practice? So actually, so that's a little bit deeper of a question to me. It's about this school or that school, but like getting into what the ancestors have done. And Dogen's reply kind of amplifies or builds on what he said in number 4 about the snares and using thought and the discriminating mind to make these distinctions in the attempt to understand what can only be understood by practicing Zazen. The question is arising now, Dogen replies, because you name as Zen school this unsurpassed great Dharma of the true Dharma treasury, the one great matter of the Tathagatas. You should know that this Zen school originated in China and was never heard of in India. So he's going back to all the ancestors. At first, when great master Bodhidharma sat facing the wall, that was Bodhidharma's practice, sitting, for 9 years, both monks and lay people did not yet know Buddha's true Dharma and called him the Brahman who practiced Zazen as the essence. They called him a Brahman because he was from India. He wasn't Chinese. After that, all the ancestors for each generation always just practiced Zazen. Seeing this, foolish worldly people, who did not understand the reality, in confusion called this the Zazen school. Nowadays, they omit the word Za, sitting, and just call it Zen. This process itself is obvious from the sayings of the ancestors. Do not consider Zazen to be concentration and meditation of the 6 paramitas and the 3 basic studies. So the 3 basic studies are the precepts, ethics, and samadhi, concentration itself, and wisdom, prajna. And those are also taught about in every tradition of Buddhism. But there's a different emphasis placed in different traditions. So then Dogen goes on to say, the intention of Buddha to transmit this Buddha Dharma, Zazen, that is revealed in his own life. It is useless to doubt the truth that the ceremony done by the Tathagata in ancient times at the assembly on Vulture Peak when he transmitted solely to Venerable Mahakapashika the unsurpassed great Dharma of the true Dharma eye treasury was seen with their own eyes by celestial beings and human beings presently in the heavenly realms. Definitely the Buddha Dharma is protected eternally by those celestial beings whose guardianship has not yet passed. Truly, you should know that this Zazen is the complete path of Buddha Dharma, and nothing can compare to it. So what he's talking about, and you probably have heard this story, or perhaps you've heard this story, Mahakapashika, that's the transmission, the wordless transmission, which is part of an interim set of sutras and stories that from which Zen derives the foundation of its practice, Zazen, just sitting. The wordless transmission, when the Buddha had all these hundreds of thousands of human assembly before him and also hundreds of thousands of other beings, celestial beings, and they were waiting for him to say something, to give a talk, to speak to them, and instead he just held up a flower. And Mahakapashika was the only one who got it, who they're all just waiting there. But as the Flower Sutra says, Mahakapashika smiled subtly, and the Buddha saw this, and that was the transmission. So in a way, it's the seal, or he calls it, as he calls it, the true Dharma eye treasury. Shobo Genzo, the true Dharma eye treasury, is just that understanding of Buddha Dharma. We don't have to study for Buddha Dharma. We don't have to know things. We don't have to know what the six paramitas are and the three studies. Although we are interested in that. We do end up knowing it. And people have always studied it. But there's something underneath all that that's the true Dharma eye that we can access simply by sitting and allowing our minds to be at ease. Uchiyama points that out in his commentary, and I'll read a little bit of that. So Uchiyama titles his commentary on this question, "The development of science or technology does not enable humanity to be noble." So, so he's kind of pointing to like the studies of things, although he definitely says science or technology. And Angie and I share a common interest in reading about science and technology, and I've always kind of enjoyed sharing that with one another. But if you read in those fields just as a layperson, which is all I do, you find out that how limiting our thought actually is and how our thought confuses us. Now people are talking about that actually our thinking and even what we might consider our will or our agency is very little of what actually makes our life. And that's what Dogen talks about, the reality of life, and Uchiyama. That reality of life in Zen is what the scientists are calling the nano engines or the microbiome, our mitochondria, these amazing chemical reactions that go, the electrochemical that go on in our bodies and actually give us energy. That's the only reason we have energy or life, and actually keep us alive. And it's kind of an exciting field, from what I read, because people are able to look into this more and more deeply with the technical tools available. But like with any science, at least in my lifetime and at my level of understanding, whenever the astrophysicists or the microbiologists, you know, get another insight into this process or another process, there's always a further question. It's infinite regress. And of course, this was talked about a long time ago in other traditions, Western traditions of philosophy. But Zen is pointing to that direct reality. And it's not only in us as humans, but every living thing, and even in stones, which Dogen talked about. It's in the stones and the pebbles. These very subtle, energetic things are happening all the time in crystals, and for example. So Uchiyama goes on to say, Zazen as Buddha Dharma is different. According to common sense, meditation or concentration is considered a means to calm one's mind down, the thoughts, to calm the thoughts, including the emotions in our brains. In other words, in this looking at meditation in this way, we try to bring our thoughts under the control of thought itself, which, of course, is impossible to do. So Uchiyama goes on, Zazen as Buddha Dharma is different. In Buddha Dharma, we see our brain simply as an organ, and an organ is a tool. It does not work to try to calm the mind down with the mind. That's like trying to pull apart the mat on which we're sitting. And we see this when we sit. Another thing that Uchiyama says in here, couldn't find it right now, but oh, here it is. In Zazen, we just sit as life itself and let go of life as it is. This is the well-regulated self. In the Dhammapada, an early Buddhist text, it says, the foundation of the self is only the self. There is no foundation outside of the well-regulated self. In Buddhism, the foundation of the self is only the self. The only thing we have to do is to actualize the true self. And that's what we sit down in Zazen to do. In the Genjo Koan, Dogen Zenji says, to study the Buddha way is to study the self. What is the true self? Uchiyama asks. That is the reality of the self that is life itself. We just sit in Zazen and let life itself go and come, let thoughts go and come. Having no thoughts is not necessarily good Zazen. Thoughts are important as secretions from our brains. Secretion oozes out of life. In the same way that saliva in the mouth or gastric juice is secreted, thoughts oozing out of our brains are an important function of life. But just as too much secretion of gastric juices causes an ulcer or even cancer, excessive creation of thought is also dangerous for life. And the real danger is that we believe our thoughts. And we've all had experiences of this, I'm sure. And waking up to that. Uchiyama has a sweet kind of a example. He says it's like going to a country theater in which the villain is really beating up on the hero or the good guy. And you're watching it and you get so wrapped up in it, you go on stage and beat up the villain. So you're believing that reality, and that's the danger of the thoughts. So I think I've probably said all I can on that, or maybe enough so that you have some comments about thoughts or Zazen. practice. More questions?
Point he makes about the different forms of meditation, the different layers, the different teachings and all that, those are all secretions. When you sit, you just sit. And you don't let go away. And in my experience, I find I get empty.
You find, pardon me?
I get empty. Mm. I just sit. I'm not thinking. I'm not nothing.
You're right.
It's just irrelevant.
Does it happen right away?
Most of the time. And I've been doing this a long time. Didn't mean it wasn't that way all the time. Sometimes it took a week.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. It's bringing up that it's
well,
it's a cumulative. It's a
strong practice of it.
It's a cumulative process.
Yes.
Angie has a nice analogy that I've always liked related to this. It's like you're the soup. It's like the soup. You just put the celery and the carrots and the onions in and the potatoes, and then sit or put a fire under, and they soften of themselves. But you have to do that. You have to bring yourself to it or light the fire under it.
And what of other Buddhist traditions that don't sit, where people do not sit?
Well, there are those, and I don't know very much about those. My real experience has been with Buddhist traditions that do sit. They may do other things, and they may emphasize other things, but they sit. But there are traditions that chant only, and I'm sorry, I just don't know about those. But I do remember, well, I might have to look it up, but or paraphrase it, Dogen saying, you know, that the practitioner of Buddha Dharma doesn't denigrate, doesn't put down, or doesn't argue with whatever other traditions there are. So whatever the people are doing is just what they're doing. No. And we may call them secretions, but that's, or whatever, but that's not a reason to necessarily think any of the less of them. No.
Carolyn, this is a kind of a continuation of a discussion that we had, that there was a night when neither you or Angie was here, and we were talking about the first couple of questions, and kind of relating to that, I had a question about whether people were meditating in Japan before Dogen. And Hiseo thought they were, because she thought they were Rinzai sects that did meditate as part of their practice. But I'm not really sure about that. I know that there was meditation, obviously, in China, with beginning with Bodhidharma. And all the patriarchs in China.
Well, I will do my best to answer that question from my limited knowledge, because I'm not really very historically knowledgeable about the different schools of early Japanese. And I do know, I can just tell you what I do know and what I could speculate about. So what I do know is that there were, that Dogen himself was practicing a form of some kind of Buddha Dharma, and that's why he had heard of that. And I'm not sure which group he was affiliated with. Angie would undoubtedly know that. But it was mostly about study and knowing, and he felt like this wasn't really it, you know. And so that's why he went to China when he had heard that there was a different form. And I do know that that's also happened in other traditions of the Theravada and the Vajrayana. So, but, you know, you'd really have to be an historian, or maybe Paul knows more about it than I do, I don't know, but to know exactly what was going on in those temples. There were temples, there was study. There was Buddha associated with it.
Well, and I know it's not really a fair, it's not really, it's kind of more of an academic question, but it does, it made me wonder, because all these questions that Dogen came up with, that were sort of, he imagined his inquisitors, they did sound like people who were doing maybe a variety of practices and thought that was a better way to go.
That is what the kind of the origin of this text is, because, but he was especially speaking to lay people here who weren't monks, but they had heard of these methods and doctrines, which are also incorporated in Soto Zen somewhat. The precepts are very, and the paramitas are very important in Soto Zen. So they heard about that, and then they're trying to get to, like, well, what do you have to say that's so different? And, you know, what are you bringing to us? But he did. He went out on a quest because he felt like there was something missing. He was getting a lot of heady stuff. At least that's the way I remember from what I heard. But he didn't feel like he was getting the real thing. The real reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So. Well, that's helpful. Thank you.
Paul, thank you.
Excuse me. Maybe something in the preface of that book.
Yeah, I think we have covered some of it, and just.
Because I know that the Rinzai were busy.
Yeah. How the Bendoa was written.
Right.
Just after spending, Dogen. Well, it just starts with, after spending 5 years in the monastery, the sitting monasteries in China, and receiving transmission, then he returned to Kyoto in the year 1227. So it doesn't go a whole lot before that. It just starts like right there. But actually, there's a preface or a foreword. That's more like a usual foreword, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, actually, there is. Right, it is in the foreword. After training as a monk in the dominant Japanese Tendai school and studying with the early Japanese Rinzai Zen teachers, he was dissatisfied and went to.
Thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
So here's a Dogen again, one of his strongest statements. We go beyond the limits of sentimental judgments about delusion and enlightenment and are not caught up in the dichotomy of ordinary people or sages, and stroll beyond classifications and receive and use great awakening. That's the practice of Zazen. And as we go on, the discussions continue about being at ease, finding the ease in just sitting. In fact, the next question sort of addresses that a bit.
Should we do a 1 minute sit?
Yes. Did we have
any announcements?
Announcements?
I have one announcement.
Okay.
If you go outside this evening just at sunset and look up, you'll see Venus and Jupiter right next to each other.
Great. Thank you.
The closest to Venus here.
Thank you. Okay.